Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only John Ondrasik, also known as Five for Fighting, who's coming Sunday to the Memorial Day concert here in D.C. Hey, John, thanks so much for taking the time.
Jason, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Why'd you want to help out with this event? Did you have any, you know, military connections in your family or just a good cause? Or, you know, why'd you want to do it?
I actually don't have military in my family, though, you know, back in the day in the first Iraq war, I started getting emails from our troops about how music really matters to them and how they listen to music before they go on mission or come back. And that led to, obviously, the concert for New York and then touring with the USO. And then my buddy Gary Sinise, who we've been doing work for the troops for the last decade, has been asking me to do this Memorial Day concert for many years. Unfortunately, schedules have not lined up. But this year, the schedule's lined up. It's such a great event. I've been watching it every Memorial Day on PBS. So this year, I get to go sing my song All for One and celebrate our veterans, celebrate our troops, their families, and just tell them how much we love them and give back a little bit.
So this is Lieutenant Dan's band has been reaching out to you, but you haven't been able to do it until this year. It finally worked out.
That Lieutenant Dan band's pretty good. Have you seen it before?
Yeah, we actually interviewed them for this same thing last year.
They are really good, man. They got 15 people up there. Gary's actually a pretty decent bass player. You know, he's not a John Paul Jones, but he's pretty good. they have a good time and put on a great show.
That's so great. You mentioned you're going to be singing All for One. Explain why you chose that one.
Well, they chose it for me, you know, and I guess it makes sense. You know, the chorus is One for All for One, and I actually wrote it for a Hawaii Five-O episode, but I noticed that some of the military folks had started using it in some videos and some tributes, and so I think it's probably cooler than Superman or 100 Years. I mean, All for One, it's got a little edge, a little rock and roll. We got a special kind of treat to come along with it from some of our soldiers that'll be joining me on stage, and I think for this event it's probably my perfect song.
I'm sensing a theme. You wrote it for Hawaii Five-O, and then we're also going to have the little girl from Moana performing. It's like a Hawaiian theme. What's going on here?
Hey man, don't we wish we all were in Hawaii right now?
Are you kidding me? Totally. Now you didn't grow up there. You grew up in L.A. When did you first learn the piano? Because I know that factors into sort of your piano based rock sort of thing. But how did you get into it in the beginning?
Yeah, Mom was a piano teacher. She started me at 2 years old. You know, start your kids young if you want them to play the piano. And she was very wise. When I was 13 and didn't want to practice, she let me quit. And I started writing songs for fun. And, you know, geez, 35 years later, we're still doing it. And I've been very blessed to kind of make a living as a singer-songwriter. And, you know, my mom is a musician, still waiting for the whole house of cards to collapse. But I've had great support from my parents. And you know, I grew up on Elton. I just saw Billy Joel at Dodger Stadium, you know, 15 days ago. And he was my first concert, and kind of the circle was closed on Mother's Day. But, yeah, I'm kind of from that Elton Billy school and trying to keep the piano alive on pop radio and pop music. And it's been a great ride.
Did you just say it was Mother's Day? Did you take Mom for the show?
I took Mom to Billy Joel on Mother's Day. She took me to my first concert at the Fabulous Forum when I was 15 years old, which was Billy Joel, the Glass Houses tour. And after that night, my life was changed forever. So my mom, my 15-year-old daughter, my wife, we all went and watched Billy play Dodger Stadium, and it was certainly a time warp, and he was amazing as always, and it was quite a day.
That's so awesome. Do you remember the moment you came up with the name Five for Fighting? Because a lot of people, our listeners might not know hockey, you know, right? 5 minutes in the penalty box. Why did you pick that, not, you know, 5 minutes for slashing, or I guess offsides isn't as good of a title.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Back in the late 90s, the record company came to me and said, you know, John, nobody can pronounce your last name, which is true, and it's the age of Lil Affair, boy bands, the singer-songwriter is dead, we have to have you come out as a band, even though there's no band. And I just come from an L.A. Kings hockey game, and there was a player back then named Marty McSorley, who was a big fighter, and he got in a fight, and as you know, in the NHL, if you get in a fight, you get a penalty for 5 minutes, 5 minutes for fighting. So I sarcastically said to the label, how about Five for Fighting? And they're like, we love it. And I'm like, you guys are crazy. It sounds like a heavy metal band. Sounds like we should be opening for Metallica, this little guy sitting playing Superman on the piano. But here we are. It fit. And 20 years later, Five for Fighting is still going. And it's actually allowed me to do some pretty cool events. And you know what? It's cooler to do the Memorial Day concert as Five for Fighting. I think our troops will dig that.
There's another D.C. connection. Jack Kent Cook was the owner of both the Kings and the Redskins. So there you go. You're coming full circle.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and our Kings finally got their cup a couple years ago and got another one after that, so it's kind of been the golden age for hockey fans, and it's great playoffs right now. We'll see who wins it this year, but it's the best playoffs, you know, for sure, is the NHL, so it's a fun time of year.
Man, we're hurting. Can you give us any consolation? I mean, we've had Ovechkin, arguably one of the most talented in the league, and we just can't get over that hump. We choke in the playoffs every year. We just got knocked out again.
You know, I picked you guys this year. I wanted you guys. You know, I thought when you got Justin Williams from the Kings,
yeah,
you know, he's the guy that can kind of turn that magic key. And, you know, when you're the best team in the league, there's a unique pressure. And every year, you know, even with Toronto, you know, you guys struggle. But I do think it's only a matter of time. I think Ovechkin will get his cup. Stay with it. Just you're a contender every year. That's all you can ask for. One of these years, the stars will align. But I know it's frustrating. A lot of my friends back there are suffering, and it's really sucked that you had to play the Penguins in the second round. That's just not right. So they need to fix that too.
Yeah, you tell them. You tell them, John. That's
awesome. I'll tell them, baby.
All right. Well, my listeners will kill me if I don't ask real quick about some of your bigger hits. When you wrote Superman, you were kind of ahead of the curve on the whole superhero thing. You know, this whole blockbuster Marvel thing didn't. This was before Chris Nolan and stuff too. I mean, tell me how you came up with that, because it's kind of an interesting sort of ironic take on Superman.
You know, you're always looking for symbolism, and you know, my Superman doesn't want to be Superman. You know, I wrote it at the time in my life when you know, I was woe is me and just trying to feel, and Superman actually came very quickly. It was one of those songs that came from beginning to end in like an hour. It was a gift. I don't know who wrote it. It didn't seem like me. It kind of just seemed like it was gifted to me. But over the last 15 years, you know, I've met true Superman, and sorry for the pun, but, you know, when you start going out with the troops and you meet the families and the Gold Star families who lost loved ones, you meet severely injured soldiers who lost, you know, multiple limbs, you realize that your life is pretty good. And I couldn't write Superman now. And a lot of that is because of my experience with the troops, because I've met true superheroes. They're very humble people. They don't think they're doing anything special, but... Again, I'm glad I wrote that when I was a young kid, because these days, if I'd be writing about Superman, it'd be talking about all our men and women of the armed forces and their families, because they are true superheroes. They allow us to say whatever we want, do pretty much whatever we want, and have the greatest country in the world.
You are a pro for how you just turned that and pivoted back into the Memorial Day concert. That was impressive. That was pretty good.
It was like a Gretzky move.
It was a Gretzky move. All right, let's see. No, all right, see if you can do it again. Relate 100 years to the troops.
Well,
I dare you.
There actually will be a 101-year-old soldier from the Doolittle Raid that we'll be paying tribute to.
Yes.
Lieutenant Cole will be at the Memorial Day concert. There's not many of our World War II veterans left, and he'll be there. We'll be celebrating him, and there'll be Tuskegee Airmen at this show, so there'll be a lot of 100-year centurions at the Memorial Day concert. So I don't know if that's a very good pivot, but it doesn't matter, because it's true, and they are legends, and they are heroes. Tune in to see them as well. I'll be excited to take a picture and meet them as well.
That was another good pivot. We won't make you do a hat trick, I promise. The two was good. thank you so much, John. No, this was so great. We're so excited to see you out there. Everybody come out on Sunday. Thanks so much, man.
I'll see you Sunday, Jason. Thanks, buddy.
Later.